A weak private sector jobs report. What will it mean for the big numbers on Friday? From APM in New York, I'm Molly Wood, in for David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Midday Update. Stocks opened higher today, despite a slightly weak report on hiring in the private sector. For a check-in on the market, we called up Jay Bryson, Managing Director and Global Economist at Wells Fargo Securities. Jay, thanks for coming on.
Sure, my pleasure.
So let's talk about the ADP jobs report that just came out. What do you make of that?
You know, 185,000 is not a bad number, and it's not infallible. The official number that we get on Friday could differ, you know, somewhat from that number as well.
So you don't think it's necessarily a major indicator?
It gives us some information about the labor market, but even if the number that comes out on Friday shows 185,000 jobs, I mean, I would still say that's more or less 200,000. That's still a pretty good number, you know, in the grand scheme of things.
Right. It seems like some investors, though, are hoping that the weaker report could lead to a delayed rate hike by the Fed. Do you think that this could be a bad news is good news situation?
Well, I wouldn't go so far as to say that. I mean, you know, yesterday was some comments by Atlanta Fed President Lockhart. He said yesterday was that the bar not to raise rates is kind of high. And so, you know, I wouldn't say that this is such a weak number that it would cause them to delay here. Whether or not they go in September is still very much an open question, right? But if you were an FOMC member and you were inclined to hike rates in September, this wouldn't be so weak as to pull you back from that.
Great. Jay Bryson at Wells Fargo Securities. Thank you again.
Thanks, Molly.
Also on Wall Street this week, there will be a lot of talk about handbags. Kate Spade reported its second quarter earnings today. It made a profit, although it was less than analysts predicted. Coach had a good report, but sales were down almost half from the same quarter a year ago. And Michael Kors is set to report its earnings tomorrow. Investors are watching closely because the handbag market has been stuck in a rut. Marketplace's Mark Garrison reports from New York.
Pam Danziger tracks the rich for Unity Marketing. Like a lot of marketers, she loves catchy names for groups of people.
Consumers that we call Henrys. High earners, not rich yet.
Relatively, that is. This is about luxury goods, so we're still talking incomes above 100K. Those folks would drop hundreds on handbags before the recession. Now, even though their income and investments have largely recovered, they don't quite feel rich enough to splurge on this season's hot new bucket bag.
Today, those people feel decidedly middle class and not at all luxury class.
There's another thing going on in their brains, and it's the handbag makers' fault. They've been offering big discounts through sales and outlet stores. That moves product, but also creates a problem, says Paul Swinand, who follows luxury goods at Morningstar.
It's this deconditioning the consumer to think, even if I like this item, I have to wait because I'll get it on a discount in a few weeks or a month.
Shoppers who don't feel rich or willing to pay full price mean big trouble for handbag companies. In New York, I'm Mark Garrison for Marketplace.
So do those high earners really think Coach bags are overpriced? Test your assumptions with our quiz over on Marketplace.org. Tomorrow, Egypt officially unveils an expanded Suez Canal with the opening of a new lane. It's one of the country's biggest construction projects since the original canal was built almost 150 years ago. The new waterway adds capacity and Egypt hopes will attract more global trade. The BBC's Sally Nabil went to the city of Ismailia near the banks of the canal to ask what ordinary Egyptians are making of it.
Even before the official opening in the coastal city of Ismailia, some ships have begun sailing in the new Suez Canal. The long waterway, which has been carved out in the middle of the desert, has taken 12 months to build.
I'm now on a small boat crossing the new Suez Canal. Cargo ships passing through the canal now will be able to travel in both directions. The government says this extra lane will help double the capacity of the main Suez Canal in less than a decade, bringing in more money.
The new canal has cost more than $8 billion, and Egyptians have stumped up the whole bill in bank bonds. I spoke to one family who invested around $200.
This is all that we could afford. We should help our country. It's our national duty.
The Suez Canal is Egypt's main source of foreign currency, Admiral Mohab Mamish, the head of the Suez Canal Authority, tells me it's vital for staying competitive.
International maritime trade will grow over the coming years, and if we can't cope with this growth, global businesses will find alternative routes. We have to be the first and the best.
Ismailia is getting ready for the inauguration ceremony. Trees are neatly trimmed, and streets are being cleaned up. But some experts, like Dr. Hazem Hosni, the professor of economics at Cairo University, question the economic value of the whole thing.
This bypass that was named New Suez Canal has no economic value, but it has value in enhancing the ship's maneuver in the Suez Canal. This is the only benefit.
Whatever money flows in with the new canal, ordinary Egyptians only hope it steers them in a brighter direction.
That's the BBC's Sally Nabil in Egypt. Before we go, Bank of America downgraded Apple stock this morning from buy to neutral. Analysts are worried about declining iPhone sales, especially in China, slow starts for the Apple Watch and Apple Music, and the weaker dollar. Apple is down 1.5% today after sliding 3% yesterday. In New York, I'm Molly Wood with the Marketplace Midday Update from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.